Would you grab your Bibles with me this morning? And I want to invite you to stand this morning as I read out of John chapter 1. If you would take your Bible, if you would stand. John chapter 1. A very familiar passage, beginning at verse 1. The Holy Spirit records, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself, John, was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Would you bow with me? Father, I thank you again this morning that you have given us your very Spirit to dwell inside. He has transformed us. Holy Spirit, thank you for giving us the mind of Christ. Thank you for empowering us to understand the Logos word and to hear and capture the Rhema word and be changed by it. Before we begin today, Holy Spirit, I ask for a fresh anointing. Would you take literal possession again of my mind and my mouth? I only want to say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. And with the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch and pervert the seed that is going to be sown. I command you to be silent. I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. And Father, I want to say thank you. You are speaking. And I want to say thank you that your children in these days are hearing your voice. I thank you today you are going to be speaking in this place. People are going to hear things from you that are not coming out of my mouth. Thank you. They're going to hear it. They're going to know it's you. They're going to capture that word, and they will be obedient to it. And so, Father, by faith, we say thank you in advance that your word will not return void. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Would you please be seated? A number of weeks ago, we began the series on the Word of God. The title of the series was, "Oh, How I Love Your Word." If you have not had opportunity to go back and to hear the messages, I encourage you to do that. They kind of build on each other, yet they are somewhat independent, but I want to encourage you to do that. Today is the last message in that series, and the title of this one is "The Word Made Flesh." I want to tell you a story that happened when we lived in Camrose. When we moved here in 1994, we moved into Camrose. We bought a house just behind the Duggan Mall, and we were there for 5 years before we moved out to the ranch. But while we were there during that five-year period of time, I want to tell you just one account that happened. One day, we got a notice in the mail that the sidewalk in front of our house was going to be ripped up by the city. And they were going to tear it apart, they were going to redo and dig, and they were going to put in brand new sidewalks all along the front of our sidewalk. I got to tell you, as a whole, that was kind of exciting news because our sidewalk was having some challenges, but there was a part of me, when I read that notice, instantly there was something that happened inside of me, and it may sound crazy, but it was like that ant colony or that family of ants right by that sidewalk that has dug a hole and have made their little pile, they're going to be destroyed. Now, how many of you would love to see an ant pile destroyed? But inside of me, I had kind of grown to like these ants, and I had opportunity to poison them, didn't do it. I had an opportunity to put powder there, I didn't do it. I watched them grow, I watched this house grow, I watched it all. Ants are fascinating. Can I ask you, how many of you had an ant farm when you were a kid? The little plastic glass like this, and you put the ants and you watch them. How many of you had an ant farm? A few of you, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you had ants in your houses that wasn't by choice, and it was a farm, and you didn't like that. I understand that. So I got to tell you, I looked at that letter. I looked at the notice. They gave a date of when that's going to happen. The whole thing is ripped up. And I began thinking, it was like, what am I going to do? I don't want my little ant colony that I have left there protected. I don't want them destroyed. And so I was thinking about it, and I got to tell you, I went out there the one day, and I just thought, I'm going to try it. I got down on my knees, and I spoke to the ants. And I said, ants, I want to tell you. And I pulled out the notice, and I read the notice to the ants. And I said, on such and such a date, you need to know the city is going to come. They're going to rip up the sidewalk around you, and they're going to destroy your home. All of that's going to be gone. I don't want that to happen, ants. You need to hear me, and you need to move. There is a place, if you just go up the lawn, by our flower bed, by the rocks there, you can make a nice place. It'll never be touched, I promise you. Can I tell you, it's like the ants didn't even listen to me. They just kept on doing their thing. They just were going around. They were busy. It's like they didn't know I was there. It's like they didn't hear my voice. I got up. I was frustrated because I was hoping they would have heard me and that the queen would have come out. She'd have marched. All of the other ones would have followed her up to that place where I'd have taken. They'd have built a new colony, and we'd have been good. That did not happen. So I went back, and I tell you, I was still thinking about it. I was praying about it. I was going, God, what do I do? So I had a thought. I went out early in the morning. The ants were already busy, but before I went to work, I went out early in the morning, and I took a shovel, and I thought, you know what? If I take the shovel and if I dig it in the ground beside where they are, they might look and go, whoa, this is dangerous. We need to move. So I put the shovel in by the sidewalk so that hopefully they'd be scared and they would move up in that direction. And so I took the shovel, I pushed it in the ground, and I began to turn the dirt up like this. Can I tell you what happened? Instead of moving in the direction I wanted them to go, they thought I was attacking them. They came out in mass. They came out of their hole. They came out of the net. They came and they were just going all over the place. They were quickly trying to put back into place the dirt that I was moving. I walked away and it was exactly the opposite of what I want. The ants did not understand what I was trying to do. He was like, God, what do I do? The day's approaching. I don't want the ants to be killed. What am I going to do? One morning in my quiet time, I was just praying about it. I was thinking about it. You may think that's weird. I was thinking about it. The thought hit me. And it was on a Saturday morning. Before the kids were up, before Jane was up, I went out and I stood there by the ant colony while all that was happening. And I prayed. And I became an ant. The moment I became an ant, I went scurrying into the ant colony. I went down and found the queen ant. And because I became an ant, I could speak ant. How many of you can speak whale? You know what I'm talking about, right? I could speak ant. I went into their home. I went down. I talked to the queen in ant. The queen was like, are you serious? And I said, absolutely serious. I said, we need to do this quickly because they're coming on Monday. Today is Saturday. You need to tell your people that there is a new place we got to go. I will lead you there, queen, but we got to go. She went, okay, I believe you. I climbed out of the hole. I went up the grass as an ant. She followed me. All of her other ants followed me all the way up the grass. We went to the flower bed where the rocks were. I said, this is where you can be. You guys can have this whole area. There were hundreds of ants. And after they were there, and after they found their new home, I prayed again. I became back. Monday morning, The city came, they ripped up the sidewalk, they ripped up the aunt house, the whole deal. But my aunts were saved. They were okay. I got to tell you something. A number of years ago, I wrote this as a devotion in the paper, talking about Christmas, God becoming man, me becoming an aunt in order to save my colony. You would not believe the number of people who thought that was a true story. I got letters. Years later, there were people who still said, that Pastor Colin, he is a little whacked because he believes he became an aunt. Can I just tell you for the sake, it's a story, I didn't become an aunt. But you get the picture, right? I looked at all of your faces when I made the statement, I prayed and I became an aunt. I looked at all of your faces and it's exactly what we should have done going, that's impossible. That can't happen. Now that moves into fantasy as compared to reality. And yet what we talk about on Christmas morning is exactly in a far greater way when God himself becomes the aunt of a human. I want you to take your notepad this morning, and I want to do something a little bit different. I'm going to lay out some things for you, and I just need to get something inside of you that the Holy Spirit can work on and build on. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to break some things down for you, but I will tell you that's as far as I can go. The revelation that is needed is going to be the Spirit's job. I'm going to do my part so imperfectly, but I'm counting on the Spirit of God to do his part so perfectly. I want you to write this down because I will never forget years ago as I was waiting on the Lord and the Christmas story and the whole deal where the Lord said to me, call the Word became flesh. So the flesh could become the Word. The Word became flesh, so the flesh could become the Word. I'm going to break that down for you a little bit. I want to first of all point out a couple things. When we talk about the Word, we're talking capital, the Word being Jesus. When we talk about becoming the Word, it is a little w. It's not about becoming Jesus. It's not about becoming God. I'll explain that to you in a bit. This morning, I want to break this down into four categories. Number one is the Word, and number two, becoming the flesh. Number three, our flesh, and then number four, becoming the Word. If you miss everything else this morning, I want you to grasp the revelation that Jesus becoming flesh was for the purpose of you becoming the Word. Let's start talking about, first of all, the Word becoming flesh. John 1:1. We read it. I'm just going to give you some verses. You can look them up later, but John 1:1 begins with this. The Bible says this, in the beginning was the Word. Number one, in the beginning. What does that mean? Can I ask you, when was God's beginning? When did he begin? Was there a beginning? No beginning. The Bible teaches there was no beginning and there is no ending. What it's saying is the Word was in the beginning. Can I ask you a question? When did Jesus come into being? Was he around before Christmas? John under the anointing of the Spirit, and we're going to look at more, John under the anointing said, in the beginning, and don't look at this as being a time frame, in the beginning, before creation, before man, before the start, before anything, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We got to get a revelation that when did the Word exist? The Word has always been. I want to just make this really clear, and we'll talk about this in a second. The word in Greek is logos. In John chapter 1, the word is logos. You can look it up on your own, but I'll give you the definition of logos. The definition of logos is this: the word, speech, utterance, message. What it's saying is the word was the logos. The word was the word of God. Jesus was the word of God. Literal, in the beginning, always existed with the Father. Jesus was in the beginning, and he was the word. If I had a whole series, we would take more time doing this, but I want you to just write down something else. Would you write down Colossians 1:17? Just write it down. It says this: he was before all things. Jesus was before all things. There was no beginning for people who go, Jesus was born on Christmas and that's where he began. No, the beautiful thing, Jesus picked his parents. Jesus was there at creation. Jesus was there before creation. Jesus was in the beginning with the Father. There was no beginning and there is no ending to Jesus. The Word has always been. The Logos of God has always been. I want you to write down number 3. And we know this. The Word was God. John says with revelation, the Word was in the beginning. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Can I just say this really clearly? If we took time this morning and I just walked you out and we walked across the street and went over to the building that's right across the street, do you know what they would teach this morning? The Word, that's exactly right. They would change this across the road and they would say the Word was a God. They changed it. The Mormons say that Jesus, the Word, was not God, not even a God. Jesus was what? The brother of Lucifer. Not the Word, not God, not even a God, but he was the brother of Lucifer. And when the two of them approached God and said, how are we going to do this earth thing? God liked Jesus' plan better than Lucifer's, and that's why things ended up the way they are. Let me tell you really clearly, church, what the Word of God says and what we believe is the Word was God. And we could just go over here. We could say the Word is God. Can I tell you just really quickly, church? Would you be prepared that in the days to come, for you and I to take the position that Jesus is God, that has cost some people their life. That will maybe cost some of us our life to take that stand going, I'm not saying he's a God. I'm not saying he's an angel. I'm saying Jesus is God. They go, you confess that? You're giving up your life. We can't even comprehend that. But that's how powerful this is, the truth, and how powerful the enemy hates the truth, has perverted it, changed it. But when we stand for the truth, it may cost us. Let me give you another one. Would you write down number 4? Through him. How many things? All things were made. Through him, all things were made. I want you to think about this. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were all present. They were there in the beginning. They're all the same. One of the confessions is about Jesus, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father, right? Not made. The Father didn't create Jesus. God being three parts, we're all there. Here's how the Bible describes that it works. The Father had the thought of what he wanted to do in creation. The Father transmitted that thought to Jesus, who had the ability to hear the voice of God. And the moment Jesus heard it, Jesus did what he has always done. He spoke out the words of the Father. Let me say this. The words, "Let there be light," began in the Father, transferred to Jesus. Jesus heard them. Jesus spoke out, "Let there be light." The Holy Spirit's power went forth on those words. And what came into being? Light. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but the whole concept of Jesus being the Word. In creation, when Jesus spoke the Word of the Father, He was the Word speaking, and creation came. For 4,000 years, Jesus spoke the words of the Father to the prophet. The Father spoke it. Jesus got it, spoke it to the prophet under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They spoke it out. Things came. When Jesus was on earth, He made a statement. I don't say a single word apart from what? Can I ask you a question today? I just want you to think back about your yesterday. I want to ask you, how many words came out of your mouth yesterday that you did not hear from the Father, but you just spoke them out of your own mind, your own logic, just because you felt like it? Your words were your words as compared to the Father's. How many words were God's words yesterday? Don't raise a hand. How many of them were your words yesterday? Don't raise a hand. Here's what it says about Jesus. There was never a time at the beginning of creation for 4,000 years, never a time when He was on earth ministering. And can I say, after that, there has never been a time and never will be in all eternity that a single word will come out of Jesus' mouth without first coming from the Father and then going through the mouth of the Word. There is a reason why the Bible says Jesus is the Word. Do you know why? Because He is the one who gives voice to the Father's thought. He's the Word. I remember when I was growing up as a kid, even before I could drive, my dad, we'd be working on something, and my dad would say, "Would you just take your bike? Would you run down to the store and would you get this? And when you get there, just say that you're Adam's son and that I sent you, and they'll just give you whatever you need." I would run down to the store and I would go there. I didn't know the person behind the till, and they go, "Can I help you?" And I go, "Yeah." I said, "I'm Adam's son, Colin. And dad said to run down here and get this." They go, "You're Adam's son?" I go, "Yeah." They go, "Okay, what does he need? You can have it. Just take it." In that moment, what was I doing? I was my dad's word. I went there, I spoke what my dad asked me to say. As a result of that word, it happened. I took it, gave it back to my dad. I was my dad's word. Now, can I tell you what rebellion is? Rebellion inside of a home is when children grow up and they begin speaking contrary to the words of their parents. That's rebellion. There's a reason why Lucifer was cast out of heaven, because he rebelled against the words of his father. There is a reason why Jesus was the Word, because every thought the Father had was spoken through Jesus, and He, being the Word, released that out in order for it to be accomplished. Can I tell you this? He was the Word in the beginning. He was the Word for 4,000 years. He was the Word when He was on earth. He's the Word now in heaven, and He will be the Word for all of eternity. There will never be a word coming out of Jesus' mouth that did not come from the Father under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want to challenge you. Can you imagine waking up one morning and saying, "Holy Spirit, I don't want to say a single word today apart from me hearing it from you, and when I hear it from you, I'll say it. Every other word, every other thought that comes into my mind, it is not coming out of my mouth." Have you ever said about somebody, that person needs to think before they speak? Do you know anybody? Like, don't raise your hand. Everything that was made, the Bible says, everything that was made through the Word. Everything that was made. Colossians 1:16, just write that down. It says this: "By Him all things were created." Colossians, "By Him all things were created." And it goes on. Would you write down number 5? "And this we know, Jesus is the Word," and we could put, "of the Father." If you've heard me, Jesus said, you've heard who? The Father. Here's part of what the enemy wanted to do. We've talked about this. The enemy wanted Jesus to speak a single word that was contrary to the Father's will. A single word. And as we said before, that single word would have disqualified Jesus from the cross. Can I tell you? I would have been so disqualified from the cross so long ago. So would you have. Because you and I, not being the Word, weren't able to do what Jesus, the Word, did. Number six, would you just write this down, and I'll never forget. The Word of God is the will of God. I will never forget being at a believers' conference, and Jerry Seville was up speaking. He was talking, and just his beautiful manner of preaching and teaching. And in the midst of all that he was saying, he made a statement that jumped out at me and landed inside of my spirit. And he said, I want you to know the Word of God is the will of God. Is there anything that would have come out of Jesus' mouth in the beginning for 4,000 years during his ministry, after now until eternity, would there be a single thing coming out of his mouth that was not the will of God? Not a single thing. The Word is the will. I would love to spend and take a whole series and work on that. We're not going to do that. For the sake this morning, we're going to move. The Word became what? The Word became flesh. I would like you to write down just Matthew 1, 23. In the very beginning, this is the prophecy. Out of Isaiah says this, the virgin will be with child, and they will call him what? Emmanuel. This was prophesied thousands of years before he was born. The child will be born. He will be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel meaning what? God with us. God with us. God, the Word, will become the flesh in order for him to be with us. Number two, would you write down Colossians 1:15? Colossians 1:15 says this, he is the image of who? The invisible God. He goes, you look at Jesus, that is the image of the invisible God that you can see in the person of Christ. Jesus said it. You've seen me, you've seen who? You've seen him. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Would you write down? Oh, I did that. Number three. John 14, 9. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Would you write down number four, Philippians 2, 5, and I want you to turn with me there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Powerful Christmas passage. Beginning at verse 5, it says this. 2, verse 5 says this. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Verse 7. But he made himself what? Some versions say this, he emptied himself. Jesus emptied himself and became what? Being made nothing, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of man. The Word emptied himself in order to become flesh, in order to be a human, in order to do what had to happen on the cross. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Would you write down number five, 2 Corinthians 8, 9. The Apostle Paul under the anointing says this, Jesus, he became poor in order for us to what? Let me just say something that has been totally misunderstood. Jesus becoming flesh, the Word was rich. When he became flesh, the Bible says he became poor, left his glory, left all of that. He became poor in order for you and I, because of his flesh, in that poverty, our flesh could become what? We'll talk about that in a second. The Word became flesh in order for the flesh to become the Word. The Word became poor in order for you and I, through his poverty, to become what he says, rich. We'll talk about what that is in a moment. The concept of me becoming an ant, you can't go there with me. None of you believe me. And we wonder why it is so difficult for the vast majority of people on this globe to think God became a man in the form of Jesus and did what he did. It is not hard for the enemy to work on every person out there going, that's not possible. It's not feasible. The only way for me to accomplish this is through my good work, not through his good work. Christmas morning, when Mary gave birth to that baby in a stable, for the first time, the world has seen God in flesh form. Now, I just want to throw this out there, just not to confuse you, but I'd like you to know it. How many times does the Bible say that Jesus actually manifested or incarnated from creation before he was born? How many times did he show up on earth? Anybody know? How many believe he did show up on earth? Yeah? How many think one time? How many think two times? How many think three times? How many think four times? Here's your homework over the Christmas season. I would like you to find the four times in the Old Testament that Jesus showed up. Now, he didn't empty himself. He showed up in the form of a man, but he did not incarnate in the sense of staying here and being with us. He came, he did what the Father told him to do, and then he left four times. The incarnation, though, happened at Christmas with a full emptying of his glory, and he came down and he became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. I don't want to spend a lot of time on these ones because we don't need to. The Word became flesh in order for our flesh to become the Word, but I want you just to write down, if you would, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. What do we know about our flesh? And I just want to say this really clearly. Ann Geddes got it wrong. How many of you know who Ann Geddes is? What is she known for? Painting a picture of babies who are angels, who are holy, who are pure, came right out of heaven with these little angels that are on there. Can I tell you, she got it wrong. The Bible tells us that when we are born, every person, that when we are born, the Bible says this, we are born sinful and unclean. We are born separated from God. The Bible says this, all have sinned and fall short of the glory. How many? All. Let me just tell you what you may not like to know, or you may have already known. When you were born, you were not perfect. I don't care what your parents said, you were not perfect. I love studying in psychology, and they will tell you really clearly, you don't have to teach any child to be bad. Just let them on their own, and you will find out how bad they are. They need to be corrected and turned. We talked about it last week. Every one of us are born with all of the strongholds of our mind in the form of an L, and the truths need to come and replace that in order for us to be transformed. Our flesh, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And would you just write down Romans 8:7? I only want these two. In our sinful condition, the Bible says this what? Those with a sinful nature are okay with God, are passive with God. What does the Bible say? In our flesh condition, what are we? Let me just say, yeah, enemy. It says this, hostile to God. Do you know anybody in your life that you are trying to share with? Maybe one of your children, maybe or a spouse, maybe someone who's been wounded by the church, and you talk to them, and they're not just passively going, well, you can believe what you want. I'll believe what I want. When you talk to them about God, they are hostile. More so than Republican and Democrat, they are hostile. That's what it says. So here's the amazing thing. When Jesus came down to earth and he became flesh, here's the crazy thing. He went into that ant colony and every ant was hostile toward me. Hostile. That's what he had to break through. He had to come down, had to speak his language, speak their language, had to come down, had to manifest the love of the Father. They were hating him and wanting to kill him. He had to love them. He had to be good toward them while they were being evil and hostile toward him. He had to reach through our flesh. But let me tell you the good news. That's not where I want to spend a lot of time. Let me tell you the good news. Number four, the Word of God being the will of God. When the Word of God comes in the person of Jesus and the Word of God comes through his utterance, would you just write down number one, first of all, 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this, he who knew no sin did what? Became sin in order for us who were sinful, us who were hostile toward God, he became sin in order for us to become what? The righteousness of God in him. He came to take our sin and cause the hostility to be gone and transfer us to a point where we can be little W word. I'm going to give you a list in a moment. 2 Corinthians 5:21, if you are a person who doesn't memorize, I want to encourage you to memorize 2 Corinthians 5:21. If there are three passages in the Bible that would be good to have in your arsenal so that your sword is bigger than a plastic spoon, 2 Corinthians 5:21 is one of them. Would you write down the second? Matthew 11:14. Can I ask you a question? There are those who believe that the Father has already predestined for people to hell. There is no choice of salvation, no chance of salvation. Even if they're witnessed to, it doesn't matter. They are predetermined before they are born. They're predetermined either to go to heaven or predetermined to go to hell. Can I just ask you, how many of you in here are predetermined for hell? You're predetermined. Just raise your hand. Let me ask you another question. This is our belief. How many of us believe there are people outside the wall of this building who are predetermined for hell? They don't have a choice. They're going to hell. How many of you believe that? Can I tell you a whole whack of Christendom does? And this is still Christendom that is considered to be Christian. We're not even talking woke. We're not even talking universal. We're not talking any of that. We're talking under the Christian category who believe a pile of them out there, you can witness, you can love them, you can give them the word, you can do whatever you want. They have no chance of heaven. Because they're predestined to hell. Let me tell you what I believe the Word says. I believe that Jesus, being the Word, who became flesh, who spoke nothing but the will of the Father, he made a statement here in Matthew 11, and he said this, it is not my Father's heart that how many should perish? None perish. The heart of the Father is that every person that God created, every person would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father is for you and I to be transformed from our fallen sinful flesh into the new creation. I'm the Word. I have the Word in me. I have been transformed by the Word. The Word of God has put the life of Jesus in me, and that life now is for how long? all of eternity. I want to give you just one more. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You'll know this as soon as I say it. When we come to Christ, when God gives us the faith to believe in Him, it says this, the old is what? Let me say this. When we come to Christ, the old, which is the flesh, the sinful nature, the old is what? Gone. How many of you ever wake up in the morning and look at your flesh and you go, flesh? I'm just telling you, you're gone. Don't raise your hand. How many of you, you know your flesh is not gone because it controls you, controls what you eat, controls what you do, controls what you spend, controls where you spend your time. Your flesh controls you more than the Spirit of God does. It's not gone. It's not even dead. But the Bible says this, when the Word became flesh, in order for this flesh to do what our flesh could never do, the moment that happens and we enter into relationship with Christ, we become a new creature. The old is gone. The new has come. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new what? Creature. New creation. I want to do this. I don't want to erase this. But I want to bring the concept of what it means to be the Word. The Word over here, Jesus, it said this, He was one with the Father. Why is it that we become the Word? Because Jesus said this, Father, me and you, you and me and them, you and them, we are what? We are one. Can I tell you this? The Father will never be one with the flesh here, could never do that. In the beginning, the Word, Jesus, was one with the Father. As a result of His flesh overcoming our flesh, we become one with the Father. What can separate you from the Father right now? What does Romans say? Powers of hell, every angel, every demon, things to come, things present, things past, the whole day. Nothing can separate you from the love of God other than one thing. What can separate you? Free will. God didn't take away my free will when I entered a relationship with Him. I sometimes wish He would. But He brings us into relationship with the Father. Let me give you another one. Number two, filled with who? Filled with Holy Spirit. Jesus in the beginning, one with the Father, filled with the Spirit of God. When Adam and Eve sinned, that whole Spirit left. He goes, you know what? The Word, you need to become flesh in order to overcome the flesh and bring the Spirit of God back into people so they can be the Word. Let me give you another one. Would you write down holy? Can I ask you a question? Was the Word holy in the beginning? Jesus, the Word, was holy. When man sinned, we lost our holiness in the flesh. He had to become flesh in order to pay for our sin, to overcome the flesh, remove sin, in order for us to become the Word, and that is to become holy. I just want you to say out loud with me, because of Jesus, I am holy. Is that true? It's totally true. I didn't believe it for years because no one taught me that for years. Either Jesus paid for my sin, removed it, did the 2 Corinthians 5:21, took my sin so that I could become the righteousness of God, I could be made holy. Let me tell you again, there is not a single good person goes to heaven. You know how many go to heaven? Holy people. That is one of my favorite lines in evangelizing with people. And I say to them, if you die, you're going to go to heaven? You go, yeah, I think so. Why? Well, I'm a good person. Haven't aborted, haven't killed anybody, haven't stole. I paid my taxes. I'm doing really well. And I look and I go, do you know, not one good person has ever gone to heaven. It stops them in their tracks. Well, then who goes to heaven? Holy people. Here's what I've heard. Well, how the hell do you become holy? I go, no, you got it wrong. It's how the heaven you become holy. And then I have opportunity to tell them how they can become holy that they themselves could never do. Let me just tell you this. If the Apostle Paul, with all of his righteousness, all of his good works, all of his Pharisaism, all of his religion, could not be holy, he looks and goes, all of it, it is dung. It's nothing. It accomplishes nothing. It's faith in Christ that makes me holy. But God wanted me to be holy because he took my flesh, transformed it, a new creation. I became the Word. And as a result of that, he has made me holy. Would you write down number 4? Now, I have the mind of who? Christ. Let me just say this here. This flesh had the mind of who? Lie, sin, the devil. In the flesh, every person has the mind of the enemy. Bill Winston makes a very powerful statement. He goes this. He goes, there's not two people who influence your thought. He goes, it's not the devil, you and God. He goes, there's only two. Either it's the enemy or it's God. We are influenced by one or the other. Don't think there is neutral ground, gray area. There is no gray area if you are not with God. Who's got you? Let me tell you here, the Word had the mind of Christ, had the mind of God. Jesus had the mind of God. He had to know the mind in order to say it with the Father. Here's the beautiful thing. He brings us to a place where we become the Word, and by the power of the Spirit, it says we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? I now have the ability to hear the voice of the Father the same way Jesus did. And here's what becomes very powerful. We're not going to go there. Do you know that when I hear the voice of the Father, and all of a sudden I do what Jesus did, and I begin to speak out the word of the Father? That's what Jesus did, right? Can I tell you? The Word does that. You and I being the Word, we do that. We hear his voice. We give him our voice. We speak the word. Why? Because I'm the Word. Would you write down number 5? Would you write down the will of God? You're going to have to hear me because it's hard to see. Would you write down the will of God? How many things did Jesus do that were in the will of God? How many? All things. Do you know what's amazing? You and I now, by the power of Jesus coming, overcoming our flesh, bringing us back into the position of the Word, he goes, now for the first time in your life, you have the ability to live in the will of God. You can say no to your flesh and you can say yes to the Spirit of God. You can now live in the will of God. You got to be the Word to do that. Let me give you another one. 6. Would you just write down eternal? Would you write down number 7? Loved perfectly. And would you write down number 8? All authority. My list is not complete. But I want to tell you, the Word, which was Jesus, became flesh in order for our flesh that was under the lie and hostile to God to become the Word and experience oneness with the Father, filled with the Spirit, to be made as holy as God, have the mind of Christ, walk in the will of God, eternal. Can I ask you a question? We have a beginning. The moment we become the Word of God, do we have an ending? Isn't that exciting? My eternity began in August of 1979. My eternity with the Father. I would have had an eternity without the Father. Because let me tell you, every created human will live for eternity. It's just a matter of where. Those that are in the flesh, separated from God for eternity, those that have become the Word in all of these attributes, with God for eternity. I asked the Holy Spirit when we were talking about this, I said, Holy Spirit, I said, how are you going to get the people who are hearing, how are you going to get them to grasp the reality that you, the Word, Jesus, you became flesh Christmas morning in order for us in the flesh to become the Word. How are you going to do that? You know what he said to me, Cole? He goes, Cole? He goes, don't you believe that faith comes by hearing? I repented. I said, yes, I do. I said, God, would you just make me faithful to release your Word, the utterance, the speech, your Word. And after that, Holy Spirit said, I'll take it from there, Cole. I want to ask you a question this morning. Before this morning, how many of you lived with a revelation when you thought about yourself, when you saw yourself? How many of you lived with the thought that I am the Word of God? Do you know that by the power of the Spirit, we can be transformed in a moment by the renewing of what? I believe today there will not be a single person under the sound of my voice who will ever again see themselves the same. And now seeing the Word became flesh in order for my flesh to be transformed into the Word. Don't confuse this. I'm not going there today. The Word was with God. The Word was God. This Word is not God. Don't let anybody tell you that, oh, does this mean you're God? No, no, no. I would be a lousy God. Can I? So would you. Let's just get that clear. But I will tell you what the Bible teaches, and I will tell you, I'm not big G God. The Bible does say that when we are transformed in a new creation, the Bible calls us God. This Word with this attribute will never be this. This is what he's done. Merry Christmas. Would you bow with me? Dana, would you come? Worship team, would you come to the front? I need to pray and release something over you today before we have communion. Would you bow with me this morning? Father, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you that you have given us the ability to grasp the truths of your kingdom. I want to say thank you that you have brought us from a place where we just go through the motions. And Lord, how many of us went through Christmas and made it about gifts? We missed what the incarnation was all about. I want to thank you, Father, this morning that you have prepared every heart and every mind for a revelation truth today. I want to thank you, you have allowed us to believe that Jesus is the Word and was in the beginning. I want to thank you that you have empowered us to believe that the Word became flesh. I couldn't become an ant, Father, but you became human. And I want to thank you that you have given us the revelation, Father, that because of what the Word did on the cross of Calvary, paying that price, you have removed our sin. You have given us your holiness. You have made us new creatures. And by taking us out of the kingdom of darkness, you have transferred us into the kingdom of your dear Son, and we have become the Word. I thank you that you empower us to hear the Word. Thank you that you empower us to read the Logos Word and understand it. Thank you that you have given us the ability to release your word through our mouth. Thank you that we know that your word is your will. And the cry of our heart is to live our life with the mind of Christ, so that when people look at us, they go, there goes the word. There goes a follower of Jesus. If you have seen them, you have seen the Father. I thank you, Father, that you have paid an incredible price in order to make us one with you again. I thank you that in you our eternity is secure. Father, this morning I release the anointing of revelation of what you have done in our life. The Word becoming flesh in order for our flesh to become the Word and for us to live for you, not just on this earth journey, but for all of eternity. With you, Holy Spirit, we can grasp it. And as a man thinketh, so is he. I release that grace today in Jesus' name. Father, would you make it so we would never look at Jesus in the manger the same again? Would you make it so that we would never look at Jesus on the cross the same again? Would you make it so we would never see the resurrected Christ at the right hand of the Father the same again? And I thank you for doing that. Jesus, in the beginning of your ministry, surrounded by your disciples and your followers, you made a statement. You said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. The Bible says there were people who heard it and they left. They were offended by that statement. Jesus, you knew that one day, gathered in the upper room with your disciples, you would take the bread, you would bless it, and you would say, this is my body, broken for you. As often as you eat it, do so remembering. And you took the cup, you said, this now is the new covenant of my blood. As often as you drink it, do so remembering. In a moment this morning, I'm going to invite you to come. I'm going to invite you to partake of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, we are going to receive the word that transformed our flesh and made us a new creature, made us the word. We're going to do that. But this morning, I'm going to invite you to come down the center aisle, and before you receive communion on either side, I'm going to ask you to step in front of the manger scene. I'm going to ask you to put your eyes on the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world, to put your eyes on the Word that emptied himself to become the flesh in order for you and I to become the Word. Would you take a quiet moment this morning and prepare your heart, those of you who are serving, if you would come. This morning, if you have a personal relationship with the Word of God, who became flesh and dwelt among us, I invite you to come and to partake of his body and blood. If you're here today and you don't know that you are in right relationship with the Lord, I would invite you to remain in your seat. And during this time, just quietly ask him what it is he desires in relationship with you. The Word became flesh in order for us in the flesh to be transformed and become the Word. Come now, for all is ready.